It's Friday, yes. And today I'm at the Education Innovation Conference and Exhibition in Manchester, which is where we're holding our Raspberry Jamboree over 2 days. And we've got about 500 different people all coming to Manchester just because they love Raspberry Pi. Now, whenever you come to an event like this, you get to meet all sorts of interesting people in real life. People that you've like spoken to on Twitter and emailed, and then when you actually see them in the flesh, they never look like what you imagine. And I've just bumped into two people I've been having a conversation via email, and one of them is
Angela, yes.
And where are you from, Angela?
I'm from One Primary School in East Riding.
Okay, and we've also got Phil.
Phil Sainter, also from One Primary School.
Now, the thing that just really surprised me is you're organising a conference. Now, that didn't surprise me, because I knew you were having a conference already, because you've invited me to come along, and Bob Harrison and a few other...
Yeah, Julian Coulthast.
Julian?
Coulthast, iPads.
Ah, okay. And it's Hull and East Riding Conference on the 3rd of April.
It is.
Now, I thought you were like a bunch of people who were just like exhibition organisers at conference, but you're not. You're actually teachers.
Yes, yeah? We are. It came around the LEA, in the absence of the LEA, the conference... This year it wasn't possibly going to go ahead, so we spoke to Mondale Events and had our arms twisted and got convinced to organise it alongside with them. So really excited about it.
Okay, so we've also got somebody else who's just joined us, which is Vicky Holgate as well. And Vicky, you a teacher as well?
I am, yes. I'm a teacher at One Primary School.
Right. So what would make a lot of teachers want to organise a conference? Because surely it's a lot of hard work.
It is a lot of hard work. Well, we didn't realise that at the time. We sort of just blagged our way onto it. But it was a case of the new computing curriculum coming out, and we know how we felt about it, a bit blind, and the training that needed to be put in place for that. So we chose the speakers that we wanted.
Yeah, from visiting other exhibitions ourselves and seeing... coming away from there and really sort of thinking about what would have helped us get started, what inspired us, and also what else we could have come away with to help us and to help other teachers get started.
Yeah. what we wanted to bring to Hull, yeah, and the teachers in the East Riding and Hull as well.
Well, this is funny because the four of us now, we all have one thing in common. If you're all teachers, organising events for other teachers. Yeah,
that's true. I think it's the impact on the children as well. I mean, we've seen it's grown and grown through Angela and Vicky's input in school. And our kids are just doing amazing things. And without courses, without looking at what's available at exhibitions, we wouldn't have been able to be where we are now.
So it must be pretty challenging trying to organise all of this as well as your normal teaching as well on top of it.
It's lunchtime meetings, it's emails in the middle of the night, phone calls, definitely. But
I know what that feels like. Yeah. And you were saying, Phil, you've got a particular interest in Raspberry Pis. You were saying something you'd seen.
Well, in our entrance hall, it was Vicky who basically told us, let's get into this. So in our entrance hall in school, we've got 6 Raspberry Pis, and Vicky is teaching Python to the children. And then hopefully by July, they'll be using the Raspberry Pi to program an external device. That's the theory.
So, now, people listening to this will probably want to know a little bit more about the conference. What can we tell people? You've mentioned there's this crazy dude called Alan O'Donoghue going to be there, and Bob Harrison and Jason Coulthast.
Julian
Coulthast, yeah. One of the things that we wanted to do was give teachers a hands-on experience at the conference. So come, be informed about the technology that you can use in the classroom, and then have a hands-on session so that they go away confidently.
Right. So you don't want to just sit there like sponges, absorbing all this information.
So the hands-on experience, and then we're also going to be providing via the Teaching and Learning Alliance local school tours. We're going to be providing hands-on support following that event through those as well, so that they're not just going to be leaving that and then left to get on with it. So
now, this is on the 3rd of April?
Yeah, it is.
It's a Thursday, is it?
It's Thursday, 3rd of April, and probably the easiest way would be to go to Twitter at 2014ICT and pick it up from there.
Okay, so it's at 2014ICT.
Yeah.
It says on your tickets are just £25 plus VAT.
Including lunch and refreshments and you.
Gosh. Yeah. That's incredible, because a lot of conferences, I mean, I get every day now flyers coming to my pigeonhole. £300 for this conference, £200 for another one. And that's why, like, the Jamboree, I thought, we've got to keep it trying at a keen price.
What we've also done as well is we've doubled up on the speakers, so they're not just going to deliver one session because the demand was so high.
Right.
We've put on so that
it's been repeated morning and afternoon.
So it's going to be a session range.
That's fantastic. So thank you very much. So it's at 2014 ICT, and that's how people can then follow it on Twitter and find out more about it.
Definitely.
Thank you. We'll enjoy the rest of the Education Innovation Conference. So it's early Friday morning, well, early, it's 8.30 on Friday morning, and I'm at the Education Innovation Conference and Exhibition here in Manchester, where we're holding our Raspberry Jamboree, and I've managed to bump into Simon. Simon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Simon Duffy. I'm head of ICT at Manchester Grammar School, which is a large boys' school in the centre of Manchester. I'm a Raspberry Pi enthusiast, and I'm a geek.
Now, you're also a member of Computing at School.
Yes, yeah. I'm a member of Computing at School, and I think Computing at School has been doing a tremendously good job in the last couple of years helping people. I'm involved in the Northwest part of it.
Yeah, because I think I've been to one or possibly two meetings at your school. One meeting
at my school.
And what I really enjoyed about that was, I mean, you did a lot of the legwork yourself. You showed us some things like some networking tools, I remember. And then also, one thing that I found really enlightening was you were showing us about CSS and why more the C, about the cascading element of it.
Cascading star sheets, yes.
Yes, and there's
a whole relatively new concepts in building websites where you should separate the detail, the data, from the way it looks. And that uses cascading star sheets. And that means that you can build websites, one website which looks appropriate for a mobile phone and also looks appropriate on an enormous screen.
Is this what they call
somewhere.
Responsive design?
That's responsive web design, for which you need to use cascading star sheets. Yes,
now,
indeed.
Simon, you've got a little Raspberry Pi badge attached to you.
It's an official I think it's an official Raspberry Pi badge.
I think it is,
From Amazon. Yeah. And I walked around school yesterday morning, I had boys saying, "Oh, you've got a Raspberry Pi badge." So,
are you proud to wear that badge?
I am very proud to wear that badge. Yes.
So there's mixed opinions and feelings about the Raspberry Pi. Some people think it's the greatest thing, you know, since sliced bread, and other people go, "I don't really get it yet." Where do you stand on that?
I get it, but I don't think it's got a big place in a typical classroom situation. We have a big network at my school, like most schools do. And when boys finish doing some work, I want them to be able to save the file very easily, and so that when they come back in the next day, they can continue with it. And a Raspberry Pi isn't really geared up for that.
Sure.
So
whereas with a network, they can save things on the network and then access.
Yeah. That's not a bad thing. If you can look at that from the perspective of it being a good thing, in that it's very obvious that a Raspberry Pi is a fantastic tool for tinkering with, even in a club or a society area or on some special project. It's not necessarily something that you'd want to teach the fundamentals of computing to once or twice a week for umpteen weeks. But I have one in school, and I hope hopefully I'm about to get about 10.
And I think that is one of the great potential about the Raspberry Pi, is it has this tinkering ability that, you know, if you sort of unveil some new computer suite in your school and then some of your boys are saying, "Oh, sir, can we try installing Linux on it or Debian or whatever?" You're probably going to go, no, we can't do that because it's too valuable and my nice shiny computers.
Yeah.
But with the Raspberry Pi, it's a matter of seconds almost just to try those out.
That's right. And it also means that you can very easily teach some things which are very hard to do on a normal, traditional, secure school computer network. For example, what I'm doing this afternoon. This afternoon I'm running a workshop about using Raspberry Pi to teach kids about web servers. Now, actually, to do that technically in a normal school environment, like in my school, is really quite hard. Whereas on a Raspberry Pi, you can easily set up a web server. You can then show them the insides. You can show them how the permission systems work. And you can't do that in a normal school, on a normal school network. Indeed, on our network, you're not even allowed, and I think this is common with most schools, you're not even allowed to connect our Raspberry Pi to our school network, because kids could do naughty things on the school network with it if they wanted to. But even as a standalone machine, what I'm going to show this afternoon is that you can do web stuff. I'm even teaching people how to use FTP to upload a file onto a web server in the way that you might do out in the real world, even though it's a single standalone Raspberry Pi.
And people could then decide that they want to do that, that they want to use their Raspberry Pi as a server.
Yes, indeed.
Now, one of the things I ask people a lot is, are you teaching GCSE computing?
We're not yet, but I hope that at some stage in the future we will do. I don't come from a programming background. I was originally for many years a biology teacher, and although I'm learning and I'm an enthusiast and I know about computer networks, I'm not particularly expert in actual programming languages. And in fact, I've just started another course at the University of Manchester School of Computer Science. First evening was last night, to do with moving from algorithms to programs. And the first 5 weeks of this year, I did another one which was to do with programming, algorithms really, but without the programming bit. So now I'm doing a 5-week course there.
It's an important point to make, because a lot of people are thinking, because they've seen what code looks like, and to some people that's sort of fairly alien concept to be able to see that. I mean, myself, I didn't do a degree in computer science, or I didn't really have much of a background in it. But people see code and they think, oh, this is the thing I've got to do. But actually, that's only the implementation of it. And you're saying, as you would say, the algorithm designing, the solving, the analysis, that's just as valuable as the actual coding.
Well, you can't really do the coding without having done a bit of the stuff on the algorithms first, so you wouldn't know where you're going to.
Now, Simon, you're based in Manchester, and I know there's lots of teachers in Manchester, some of them who might even want to get in touch with you. Is there an easy way? Are you Computer at School or Twitter or any of these things?
I am a Twitter listener, but I tend not to tweet myself. Yeah. I follow you.
You're a Twitter voyeur.
Yes, I'm a voyeur. People can always make contact with me via the school.
Right. And you're on Computing at School as well.
And I'm on the Computing at
School. So people typed in Duffy in the search box,
they'd
be able to find you.
Computing at School, yeah.
Well, Simon, I'm really looking forward to seeing this web server workshop later on, and enjoy the rest of our Raspberry Jamboree.
I'm sure I will.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Now, this is a little bit later in the day. I'm still at the Raspberry Jamboree at the Education Innovations Conference and Exhibition in Manchester. And I've just bumped into somebody that I've met a couple of times and spent a lot of time talking to on Twitter and email, and it's Ajit. Ajit, could you just introduce yourself a little bit, first of all? Who are you and what are you doing?
Firstly, thank you, Alan. Great to be here, and it's a great event. I'm actually not a teacher, although I teach a specific course at Oxford University. I'm in the industry, but I'm passionate about teaching the new computer science syllabus. I have a social startup called Fine Labs, and essentially what we do is look at computer science from a completely different way, so accelerating the learning of computer science. And what we're doing in this case, what I'm talking about in the afternoon, is an idea called Fine Maps, which is looking at your tying your experimentation to the computer science syllabus. So what happens is, when you're teaching Raspberry Pi physically, you don't know how it ties to your conceptual understanding, and this is the gap we're trying to bridge. And the way we're trying to do that is to create an open source Creative Commons methodology, which we're putting, which is a mapping technique. It's not like a mind map, it's more like a concept map in the 1970s onwards. And we're readapting that technique to the computer science syllabus, so that as a teacher, as a learner, what you can do is basically drill down to many different elements of the computer science syllabus, but starting from a physical experiment. So what happens is, you look at a temperature sensor, you see, okay, this is what it does. This is it does a system command. It has an analog digital converter. Then you look back at the concepts themselves, right up to the conceptual thing. So it allows you to do a completely up and down drill up and down.
So it's a very different concept of teaching and learning than some people who listen to this podcast might be.
Yes.
And some people are going to probably be scratching their heads a little bit. And you refer to it as Fine Maps.
Yes.
And it's not F-I-N-E, it's F-E-Y-N, taking it from Richard Feynman.
Yes, which is a big inspiration to my work and my company as well. That's exactly right. That's exactly where the name comes from, FindMaps. Yeah.
You seem to have been, when I've been watching you in the last 12 months, you seem to be on a very exciting journey. We met in Birmingham at the conference in June, and since then you've been all over the world. You've been to Malaysia, America?
Barcelona. The Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
Oh, so maybe Malaysia earlier, might be later on, yes?
And
the other thing I remember that was remarkable was you launched a project on Kickstarter,
yes,
which was to fund the creation of some educational materials.
Yeah.
And that was just a fantastic success. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how has the sharing of those materials gone on?
We have been launching that and doing that gradually. It's been a little bit delayed, I must admit, but it's still pretty much on track. So we've been, rather than completing the whole thing, I've been sending it out in stages, and hopefully should wrap it all up in the next couple of months. In fact, part of what we're talking about today goes into that methodology.
One thing I've noticed about you is on the Computing at School community, you're a very active member of the forum, and a lot of the time people will say, how do you teach this or how do you do that? And you will always come in with your little perspective, which is really, really helpful. What value do you see and support in the education community, not being a teacher?
I think the value I bring is an outsider. But somebody who is prepared to engage. I think that's how I see it. I have met so many teachers. I started this free Python trial. We have 400 teachers sign up for it online, and I've been working with them for the last about 6 months now. I think that I come across with this very technical background, which I come from outside of this community. But I share and learn.
That's fantastic. Now, people listen to this podcast, They might be in the car or something. How can they get in touch with you? Do they go to the Computing at School and search for you, or your Twitter handle, or what's the best?
FindLabs is the best site. FeynLabs.com.
FindLabs.com. See, some people might pronounce it Fein as in FEYN, but
doesn't matter. It's
doesn't matter how you say it, but it's FeynLabs.com.
And also my name is quite unique. Ajit Jaukar is quite unique.
Ajit
Jaukar.
Jaukar, J-A-O-K-A-R. Okay. Ajit, it's been fantastic to talk to you again, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the Raspberry Jamboree.
Absolutely, a pleasure to be here, and a great event. Thank you. Thanks.
Now, it's around lunchtime, and we're all going to go out, and... okay, it's time to go now, thank you. Go and have some lunch. Go on. So that was me telling Rita to leave the room. Now, at events like this, you always get to meet in real life people that you follow on Twitter. And Christine, tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Christine Harvey. I'm at Teachers Comp Sci. I'm a acting head of computer science from Bradford. And I've also got three young daughters who I'm trying to get into coding.
Brilliant. And what ages are they?
My daughters are 6 till 9, and I teach 11 to 19.
What age would you say is the right kind of age to start teaching things like coding?
Well, you can start really young. My littlest has had a couple of coding apps on the iPad and has been playing with them. They don't know the coding. They're just playing games, but they're learning iteration and selection and everything they need to know.
I like what you say, because I actually gave you a loaded question then.
Did you?
Yeah, because some people say, oh, well, I think it should happen at 7.
No, I
think
right?
You got it right, because it's just like, what age should you toilet train a child?
Yeah, when they're ready.
When they're ready. Yeah. And that's the same thing with coding. If you start a little bit too soon and they're going, well, why are you making me do this? Then it's too soon. Mm. So you've had to take a day out of school
I
to
have,
be here.
Yes.
Was that tough?
No, the school's really supportive. We've just started teaching GCSE computing and GCSE A-level. So they're very keen to professionally develop their staff so we can offer...
And you were able to justify that
They're happy for it, really. They just want what's best for the students, so they're happy for us to learn more.
And if somebody had never been to this event and they were thinking maybe about coming to a Raspberry Jam or the Jamboree, what kind of things would you say? Like, what value do you get out of something like this?
Well, I'm coming to the Hack Day tomorrow, the Family Hack Day, so I'll know more after I've been to that.
Right.
But the Jamboree has been really good for meeting people that you've been communicating with on Twitter or reading their blogs. And I keep rushing from workshop to talk to seminar to workshop, and I'm just finding out about stuff that I wanted to know about but I haven't had the time to do, and I'm getting it all done in a day.
Brilliant. So. And you mentioned Carrie-Anne Philbin before.
Yeah.
Have you met her before?
No, I've got the book and followed her and just been to hear her discussing something, and she was having a really useful conversation with a load of teachers in a panel discussion, and just seen her doing a workshop making a deflating donkey. which is quite exciting.
So, what else can I say? What else can I ask you? You're teaching GCSE computing.
Yes.
And have you got some background in computer science?
Well, I did not really. I did a degree in archaeology, but I did 2 years of computer science while I was there, just because I loved coding.
Wow.
First started coding on a BBC Basic, a BBC B in Basic.
And was that like...
When I was like 9 or 10.
Gosh.
And then, did a bit while I was at university, just because I was really interested in it. Then haven't done anything for ages. Desperately wanted to move the school and the pupils towards coding, because so many of the pupils were coding themselves at home, and now with the changes coming out, they're up for it and we've changed over, and I'm so pleased.
One of the things that I'm delighted to meet people like you here, because when you typically go to like tech conferences about computing, there tends to be a lot of people, and they tend to be male of a certain age that, like myself, don't have a lot of hair, and maybe from the south. But you look like normal, like anybody else, and you're from Bradford, and you're teaching computer science there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to sort of dispel the sort of geek image,
the stereotype.
And I think with computing, you have to be quite techie minded, but you also have to be really creative.
Yes.
And I think the most successful pupils we have, one of our AA level students is a girl, and she's not taking any scientific or mathematical subjects. She's all doing classics and English.
Yeah, yeah. And computer science.
And computer science. And she's amazing, really good coder. And she'll probably go on to do coding at some computer science at university. Gosh. Because she's very creative and technically minded. And it's the match of the two. So
Christine, it's been lovely to talk to you. You said your Twitter handle is at teachers, compsci, which is you teach computer science.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the Raspberry Jamboree.
Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you in the flesh.
Okay, thank you. Now, I know lots of people who listen to this podcast are already members of Computing at School, the free online community where you can go to hubs, you can meet the master teachers, you get lots of resources. And one of these people I'm now stood with, and it's Chris. Chris, tell us a little bit more about you.
Hi, my name's Chris Swan, and I'm Director of ICT and Enterprise, notice no computing yet, at Stourport High School. And this is the second year that I've come to the Raspberry Jamboree.
Worcestershire.
So this is the second year that I've come to the Raspberry Jamboree, and I'm here, I'm here in a personal capacity, but I'm also representing OCR, as I'm a resource developer for OCR for the GCSE in computing. I also teach it.
Now, you've been involved in the MOOC, the online course, haven't you?
I have.
And there's some, like, so the MOOC is the GCSE Computing Online course that's free, that can support GCSE computing. It doesn't give you a qualification in it, but it helps support some of the resources around that.
Yes, it helps teachers and curious parents if they want to see the sorts of things that are being done at school. And students can use it, teachers can use it for homework and during class as well. And basically, we took the content of the whole of the GCSE, broke it down into sections, and then produced small videos with support materials for each section. And as you can imagine, it was a massive project and spent hours and hours and hours in the studio. There's an awful lot of work gone into that even I didn't realise how much work it involved. But people have also produced support materials, so there's sort of texts, transcripts of the videos, there are questions, and there are lots of exciting developments relating to that.
And I believe, like, by the end of April or something, all of that will be pretty much finished, all the content there online, totally
That's
free.
Correct. Yeah. I'm currently working on guidance for the controlled assessment, which is really interesting, because I think what we're trying to do is produce something that will be, you know, be a guide for any student, any teacher that's actually managing a controlled assessment program, not just computing, although there are some specifics related to computing too.
Now, you've got a Raspberry Pi. I know you have.
One? I've got loads of them.
Well, I remember one in particular you brought last year. It was like a Lego robot.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I've
still got that. And actually, funny enough, I've been asked to speak at an engineering event. So that's going to be dragged out, dusted off. As you know, I don't like spending a lot of money. I'm very careful with my money. So what I did was raided a toy box, got lots of old Lego motors. I had to make sure I had ones that actually matched. I used the Pi Face Digital as the interface board, because they're volt motors.
Yes.
And basically got my students to help. We built it, they programmed it, and that's still, I mean, you know, it's a cheap project. I'm all for not spending huge amounts of money when you don't need to.
So this year our Jamboree, it runs over 3 days, and this is the Friday. But you're only here for the Friday.
I am, yes.
Is there anything today that you've seen that's made you go, oh, I didn't know you could do that, or whatever? Like,
well, we've just been talking. You know, I'm also with my other career hat on. I've been involved with networks for a number of years, and I was a teacher on the Cisco Networking Academy program. Now I actually run a Cisco Academy for over 10 years, and I did various exams. I did security exams, and I did my wireless LAN field engineer exam, which is particularly interesting and unusual, I guess.
So you're a wireless geek.
I'm a wireless geek too. So I found some fab add-ons for the Raspberry Pi, radio transceivers.
This is Eco. Stand.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, CIS, you know, Eco. Yeah.
That's correct, and it's great to see so many fab ideas. There's also a fixed network, a cabled network as well of Raspberry Pis. I saw all of my networking for my GCSE students using Raspberry Pi. You'll be pleased to hear. And it gives them a real world feel. It's a fantastic resource.
Chris, it sounds like you've got loads of ideas and you're very helpful to teachers. What's the easy way for people to get in touch? Are you on Twitter?
Twitter. I am at Chris_Swan. That's SWAN.
Not two. There's not two N's.
Like the bird. Yeah. And more than willing to help people. I work at Starport High School. You can also get me by email. My email address is cswan@ shs.worcs.sch.uk. That's right. And if you didn't catch that, you're going to have to listen to the podcast again.
Thank you, Chris. Enjoy the rest of the Jamboree.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
And now, for the last 3 minutes, I've got with me Simon Humphreys of Computing at School and Clive Beale, the director, education director of the Raspberry Pi. So, Simon, say hello.
Hello.
can you tell me something that you've seen around the Raspberry Jamboree today that you thought was of value to teachers?
I think what's of great value is just that kind of collective enthusiasm. And I think that people are gathering around this device, which in and of itself is interesting, but it's then what you do with that and how you build the communities, the projects, the activities, the stimulation, and just seeing people engage with that. From teachers, we've had school children here doing stuff
That's
as well,
right,
we've
yes.
had, you know, kind of professional developers, and we've got kind of dyed-in-the-wool geeks, may I use that expression, but just so passionate to explore this device and see how we can get engaging projects into young people's
hands. And one of the things I've always been really proud of is the fact of how the Raspberry Jam fits neatly with the Computing at School community
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Clive, you're itching to say something?
I think dyed-in-wool geeks is a fantastic expression. I completely agree with Simon. What is lovely is the mix of people. So as well as the community, you've got educators, teachers, people from industry, you've got the geeks, of course you've got the makers, you've got this whole fantastic a bunch of people coming together, and because they're very diverse backgrounds, you get I'm not going to use the word synergy because I'll then have to whip myself with nettles, but you do get this amazing stuff start to happen, and the kids involved and workshops and just the creativity and a buzz. It's fantastic.
And Simon, you just closed our event with your thing, and you had some words of advice from your previous head teacher. You said, fire them up, the children, and don't get in their way. Mm. Do you think that the Raspberry Pi is an enabler to fire children up? And
it's a terrific catalyst. Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. So it's a wonderful catalyst. And that you can see the variety of projects that have come out of this small £25 computer is just extraordinary. And it's wonderful to see, because it's putting a tool into the hands of the children and others where they can just make stuff. And it's so fundamental that actually what we're about, it's just about making stuff. And that's very exciting.
And if you had 30 seconds to persuade people to join Computing at School, what would you say?
I'd just say join, because there you'll find 10,000 others who are equally passionate about the new curriculum and about computing and want to help and support each other, which is fundamentally what it's about.
And Clive, 30 seconds to sell a Raspberry Pi to somebody?
Just buy one, because it's a toolkit for playing, thinking, learning, making, creativity, exploration. It's just a fantastic thing. It's not the answer to everything, of course, but it is a brilliant, brilliant starting place to start making things.
And I suppose the fact is there's very little risk, but lots of rewards, because whether you join Computing at School, it doesn't cost you any money.
Indeed.
Whether you buy a Raspberry Pi for £20, well, It's a very significantly small amount of money.
Join Computing at School by Raspberry Pi. You will have a fantastic, creative, brilliant educational time.
And now together we're going to say goodbye to the people that listen to the podcast. So we say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.